Just want to read the first four verses of chapter 10. They'll be the verses for our consideration this morning, and may the Lord indeed bless them to our hearts. Dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment and cause it to give off a foul odour. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honour. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Even when a fool walks along the way, he lacks wisdom, and he shows everyone that he is a fool. If the spirit of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your post, for conciliation pacifies great offences. I don't think there's anything in this book that Solomon hasn't looked at in life. And from this verse 1, we have the title, A Fly in the Ointment. Now, that is a saying that people would use. A fly in the ointment. And I looked up the English, my English dictionary, the edition that I have, looked up fly, and there's a fly in the ointment. And it means a minor irritation that spoils enjoyment. A minor irritation that spoils enjoyment. You know what it's like? The children are small, you take them out for the day, and the day is ruined. Somebody's in bad form. Oh, the children are fine and the wife's fine. That hasn't sunk in, sure it hasn't. A fly in the ointment, something small that just irritates everybody else. And that's what he's saying that people use, and they don't know that it's from the Bible, and even from this other chapter, or from the same chapter, a little bird told me. How many times have you used that? And again, you're in chapter 10, verse 20. Do not curse the king even in your thought. Do not curse the rich even in your bedroom, for a bird of the air may carry your voice, and a bird in flight may tell the matter. A little bird told me. And that's where it comes from. From Scripture. But here we have an outline of these verses. A fly in the ointment. And first of all, we can see a ruined reputation. Here we have someone here, respected for wisdom and honour. Dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment and cause it to give off a foul odour. We'll come to that in a moment or two. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honour. A reputation that someone has, they're respected by other people for wisdom and for honour. They're held in high esteem. And that a reputation that maybe has taken years to build, they're just known for their wisdom and their honour, and they're respected for that. And the older that you get, maybe that reputation grows and you command more of a respect, and there's more people who respect you for that. Solomon addressed those who were older in age. Proverbs 16 and verse 31, the silver-haired head. So he's talking about someone who's not in their youthful days. Someone whose hair has turned grey with age. The silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. It is a crown of glory, but look at the condition here. If it is found in the way of righteousness. Chapter 20, verse 29. The glory of young men is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their grey head. I just love older Christians. Those who are far much older than me. Maybe saved for years. My, what a wisdom they can share. What experiences they can relate. And I just love being in their company. And I remember growing up in Lisburn, a congregational church. And I started to attend the midweek when I was 14. I was by far the youngest there. The rest were a lot older than me. And even Carl and I were down a few weeks ago and did the women's meeting there. And one of them happened to say that she remembered me starting to come to the prayer meeting. I was with older Christians. But they were such an example to me. And not so much among my peers, but ones who were far older than me. Who had been on the Christian road for years, long before even I was born. But to this day, what an example. What a treasure their memories are for me. And I'm sure there are those in your life that you can mention as well. But are ruined their reputation. These years of being respected for wisdom and honour can fall apart in seconds. And that's what these verses are about. Not only do we see a ruined reputation, but we see an appropriate illustration. Dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment and cause it to give off a foul odour. And of course, the flies that Solomon might be talking about here in the Middle East, they're not the flies that you and I would see flying about Ulster. They're different flies. There's a lot more of them in a hot climate. They are pests in a hot climate. And of course, there's more than one fly. Dead flies. And something so small, as we'll see in a moment or two, a little folly, can damage that which has been held together for years. One respected for wisdom and honour. There's a verse that's closely linked with this, and we've already considered it. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 1, where it mentions ointment again. A good name is better than precious ointment. You see, precious ointment, the perfumer's ointment, it's going to be lovely and fragrant. And you know what it's like? You know, we use these things. We use our deodorants and our perfumes and our ointments, and we just want to have a nice fragrance about us. We don't want to smell stale or have a bad odour, but to have a fragrance about us. A nice, acceptable fragrance. A good name. And of course, one who is respected for wisdom and honour will have that good name. But that good name can become a bad name overnight. You see, the perfumer's ointment without the flies would be fragrant. But the flies in the ointment, it'll be foul. Dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment. Perhaps while the ointment was in the process of being made, flies would have maybe dropped down into it. And of course, it's sticky. The flies aren't going to get out. And so they're just going to rot in the ointment. And when the person buys the ointment and maybe takes the lid off or whatever, it's going to stink. Because mixed in with the ointment are the decaying or decayed flies. You see, those of us who are Christians, this is where we can link up another scripture. But those of us who are Christians, we are to be anointment. We are to have a fragrance about us. And we see that in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved. We are to be an example to them. And among those who are perishing, we have to be an example to them. To the one we are the aroma of death, leading to death. And to the other, the aroma of life, leading to life. So you can see the picture here. God diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place, through you, through me. I wonder, are we good at doing that, or has dead flies got into the ointment? And the fragrance of Christ, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Just wherever you go, whoever you're with, are you the fragrance of Christ? Do people know that there's something about you? Or do they smell a deadness in the ointment? I've said this before and I'll say it again. It is 39 years ago this September that I went off to the Faith Mission Bible College in Edinburgh. And I can remember a remark that was made about a woman. I don't know who it is even, but the reputation about her was this: she smelt of God. And as a 19-year-old, that stuck with me. She smelt of God. And that challenged me. 39 years ago, and I remember saying, Lord, I would love to have a reputation like that. I would love people to say that about me. He smells of God. He has a fragrance about him. And I wonder just what fragrance some Christians have. Dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment and cause it to give off a foul odor. Is there a fragrance about you? Or is there a foulness about you? Because not only do we see a ruined reputation and an appropriate illustration, we see a regrettable action. So does a little folly. You see, a fly will be a little thing. And the dead flies, there's going to be more than one in this perfumer's ointment that's going to give off a foul odor. There's enough of the flies, although they're little, there's enough in the perfumer's ointment to cause it to be foul and to be rejected. So does a little folly. A little folly. It doesn't need to be all that much. We are used to the saying, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Here we have little flies. One has said, just as one fly can ruin a whole batch of ointment, so an ounce of folly will spoil a pound of wisdom. Big things. Things that get out of control can begin small. So small that you don't even notice them. Maybe the perfumer didn't notice the flies getting into the ointment, but they did get in. And they spoiled his work. Big things begin small, and we talk about nipping things in the bud, sorting them out before they turn into big things. There's Colossians chapter 3, for example, verse 5. There's a list of things here that Paul gives. Therefore, put to death, or the old authorized version will say, mortify. Put to death. Kill sin before it kills you. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire. Those first things have to do with sexual immorality. Evil desire and covetousness, which is idolatry. Verse 8, but now yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, attitudes and emotions, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, etc. You know, if there's a problem with these things in your life, they have to be nipped in the bud, or they will be like the dead flies in the ointment. They'll spoil. A little folly. As somebody has said, a fly is small, light, and quite insignificant, but in the ointment, such an intrusion can cause great havoc. A little folly. For one respected for wisdom and honour, all it takes is that little folly to be an outburst of anger. Wrong words used at the time, maybe. An inappropriate action of some kind. Things that happen in seconds. And that man's reputation or that woman's reputation will never be the same again. And just thinking of the tongue, the use of the tongue, James 3 and verse 5, where it mentions there about the tongue, see how great a forest a little fire kindles. A little fire. We hear of these from time to time, the forest fires in Australia, the forest fires in America that destroy hundreds of acres covering miles, and any homes, and all it takes is a match that somebody has lit. Maybe young people out for a bit of a laugh and they have a wee fire and they light something, and what chaos. How great a forest a little fire kindles. Dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment. Cause it to give off a foul odour, so does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honour. Look at Moses. Moses was prevented from leading the children of Israel into Canaan because of the use of wrong words. He had an outburst of anger. The people were thirsty. God told him to go and speak to the rock, and a water will come forth from the rock, and the people's thirst will be quenched. Moses went to the rock and he thumped the rock a couple of times with a stick and said, must we? And because of those words, because of his anger, because of his words, he was prevented from leading the children of Israel into Canaan. Look at David. 2 Samuel chapter 11. When his generals were away in the army, in battle, and David should have been at the head of the army, but he stayed at home. Saw Bathsheba. Committed adultery. And one night, David's reputation came to an all-time low. And to get himself out of the situation, to try and cover up his sin, he more or less orchestrated the death of Bathsheba's husband Uriah. Put him in the front of the battle, put him in the hottest part of the battle, he'll not survive that. And neither he did. And David knew that he wouldn't. And there was Peter. Peter who denied the Lord 3 times. Who said, Lord, I'll die with you. I will never deny you. I'll die with you. I'll die for you. But he denied the Lord 3 times. And Moses, David, Peter, men who can be said here were respected for wisdom and honour. And a little folly spoilt all that. How much more have you and I to look after ourselves? We have to mind the little things. Not so much the big things, it's the wee things that irritate. It's the fly in the ointment. Song of Solomon 2 and 15 says, catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. And we're talking here about sin, of course. It's little sins. Big sins. Started off with little sins. Someone now who has a drink problem. Someone who's a drug problem. Well, it started off with their first drink. It started off with their first tablet or use of the syringe or whatever. Maybe mild at first. Here, I like that. I'll try that again. Only I'll make it a wee bit stronger this time. And I'll have a bigger buzz. And then, of course, what they think that they can control soon controls them. And the dead flies have got into the ointment. And instead of a fragrance about them, there's a foulness about them. And what I said, the salutary and sober lesson for every believer is that it takes very little of the past ungodly life to be manifested in present behaviour to ruin a lifetime's testimony. Great care needs to be exercised to ensure that life is guarded against the ingress of dead, sinful defilement. Has someone ever said to you, or have you ever said it, oh, there's no flies in me. There's no flies in him. There's no flies in her. And that means that person is aware of things that's going on, and they're careful. No flies. But the flies have got into the perfumer's ointment, and they've died there. Now we can leave that verse. And as well as seeing a ruined reputation and an appropriate illustration and a regrettable action, verse 2 we see a right inclination. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. That's why I've used the New King James Version this morning, because it mentions hand. The ESV just says a wise man's heart is at his right, but a fool's heart is at his left. Well, right what? But here it says the hand. Now, of course, it's not talking about the physical pump inside your chest. It's not talking about where it is. Everybody's heart is slightly to left off centre. But it's not so much the emphasis on the heart, it's on the hand. It's the inclination. A wise man's heart is at his right hand. And it talks about the controlling influences of life. You have two men here, you have two hearts, you have two hands. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. And here's an interesting thing. The word sinister. And we would use the word sinister. Sinister means suggestive of evil, looking villainous, wicked or criminal. And it's from the Latin sinistra, which means left hand. So we're talking here about the good actions, the good life of a wise man. His heart will be in the right place. He will want to do things that are right and proper and acceptable. But a fool's heart is at his left. He will be engaged in that which is wrong, that which is not acceptable in society, that which is sinful. And of course, when it talks about heart, it's talking about the inner person. The wise person possesses a mind attuned to the eternity that God has placed within him. Chapter 3 and verse 11 says also he has put eternity in their hearts. And a wise person will be conscious of that. Eternity is in the heart. They're made for eternity. They will want to live for eternity, not so much for the things of time, but for the things of eternity. But whereas a foolish person, however, yields to the evil within. Chapter 8 and verse 11. Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. If they think they're getting away with it. Oh, where is the judgment of God? Where is this God that's supposed to judge? Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. But a wise man's heart is at his right hand. He will do that which is right, that which is pleasing to God. But a fool's heart is at his left. We see that in Matthew chapter 6, 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So where is your treasure this morning? Do you think that the things of this world are the treasures they live for? But they can be stolen. They can decay. They can be destroyed. But it's the treasure where thieves cannot break in and steal. Heaven. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So is your heart on the things of the earth, or are they on the things of heaven? So a right inclination. And if you have that, of course these verses are tied in. If you have that, then you will be respected for wisdom and honour. Verse 3, we have a senseless person. Even when a fool walks along the way, he lacks wisdom, and he shows everyone that he is a fool. Here's a fool in public. He doesn't know to be quiet. He's loud. He's arrogant. He's boastful. He's ignorant of spiritual values. And this is his reputation. He's not one respected for wisdom and honour. He has a reputation for being a fool. Even when a fool walks along the way, as he mixes with people along life's road, he lacks wisdom, and he shows everyone that he is a fool. And of course, we're not talking about so much mental inability, but moral and spiritual insensitivity. Psalm 14 verse 1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. All these well-known atheists today, the Bible just calls them fools. They're fools. They walk along the way. They lack the wisdom. They show everyone that they are a fool. Proverbs 10 and verse 18, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. So again, a careless use of the tongue. Verse 23, to do evil is like sport to a fool. Just having a bit of fun. Not taking things seriously. Maybe harming other people. To do evil is like sport to a fool. They get enjoyment out of that. Proverbs 29 verse 11. A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. And I thought of another fool. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 20, the parable of the rich farmer. Someone who had a real bumper crop. Someone who had become very wealthy. Oh, he says, I have much goods laid up for many years. I will take my ease. I will eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And when I think, you know, of the funerals that I have done over the years, I have done the funerals of those who were wise. Those who were right with God, those who have had a Christian testimony, what wise people. But I have also conducted the funeral of fools. Those who did not get ready. That moment their soul was required of them. They were not ready to meet God. They were fools. A senseless person. Lastly, we see a proper disposition. If the spirit of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your post, for conciliation pacifies great offences. Here is the wise and the foolish together. Here is the ruler maybe going off on a rant, and it would be so easy to match him. It would be so easy to storm out of his presence, but it says, do not leave your post, stay where you are. For conciliation pacifies great offences. You be different than what he is. Pacifies here means to rest or settle down, to calm things down. Thus Solomon states that by showing a spirit of humility, the anger of the ruler, which is a great offence, will be settled down and healed. Proverbs 15 verse 1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And if the two are having harsh words, it'll turn into an awful situation. But if one can remain calm, it'll calm the other one down. So these things are very practical, aren't they? And really, overall, in these four verses, we have Christian behaviour in witness, in works, and in words. And let's be all wise where these things are concerned. Just watch out for the dead flies that maybe get in. And this fragrance, well, is it a fragrance? Or is it a foulness? And that's something that we have to ask ourselves.